Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case.
It is Thursday, February 10th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. This is Zach Smith with my co-host, Chris Drew, here to bullshit with you for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes. Just here to give you something to listen to that's a little different from Common Man and T-Bone's fat ass, just talking about absolute bullshit without any fucking knowledge. That's all we're trying to do. When you get in the car and you turn on the car and start it up and fucking 97.1 The Fan comes on and you hear that fucking fat ass talking, we want to give you something to go, oh God, no. And then hit play. That's all it is. We're trying to give you something, an alternative. This is it's like alternative rock. This is alternative sports talk is what it is. So the only thing we got to mention before we get started is the Super Bowl big board. Get your square. It is Thursday. We have, 4 days left. Get your square ASAP, $100 a square, raising money for charity. You can win up to $5,000 in prizes. I've already talked about it every show. You already know about it. So this is your reminder. Get on Venmo. Cameron Media is the name. Send $100. Get a square. Let's fill this board and let's win some money. Moral of the story. But we also have a hometown hero phone call at the end of the episode. So if you've been following every Thursday, I call, a local barbershop in a hometown to see if one of the players for Ohio State, right? Could be former, could be current. Shit, we might call Akron and see if Chris is a hometown hero soon.
Don't do that.
But we call and find out if they're a hometown hero. We got Josh Proctor today back in Owosso, Oklahoma. Let's see if Josh Proctor's a hometown hero. We will find that out later in the show. But for now, let's talk about, here's what I want to talk about, Chris. The Menace moment, right? The vault, the video vault. You've been putting out video vaults once a week of kind of a throwback highlight, and people have to guess who it is. And yesterday's, just talk to me. Who was yesterday's vault video?
So I've tried to make it a little bit harder each and every week. And yesterday I went back and we'd been kind of talking about Austin Mack a little bit. And so I went back and found some Austin Mack high school highlights and posted that and had people guess. And I was getting people, man. I was getting people good because, like, big light skin receiver. Everyone was like, oh, like Julian Fleming. And then our guy Johnny stole the show by going in there and saying Jalen Marshall. And it was like, oh, gotcha. So, yesterday's was Austin Mack, who really put together one of the best high school seasons and was one of the more dominant high school receivers that year. I think he was definitely underranked. And obviously, we've told the story before about how Urban Meyer lit Will Fong up about, you need to get this guy invited to the All-American game because he's one of the best, if not the best in the country. And then he went and did a really good job there. Menace moment. So first we had Baron Browning, which people got immediately. Then we had DeMario McCall, which was a little bit tougher. Then this one was Austin Mack, who I'm a huge Austin Mack fan.
Austin Mack's one of my favorites. I mean, he came in as a freshman and everyone knew he was going to be a really good player. And, he had some injury stuff go on and then some political stuff his last year with the younger receivers. But either way, had a very productive career at Ohio State. He's still in the NFL right now, actually with the 49ers.
So yeah, you saw him on the sideline a couple times.
Yeah, just got knocked out of the playoffs in the NFC Championship round. But so Johnny got it wrong. Johnny, the Bullet. I mean, this is a Buckeye through and through podcaster, YouTuber. Johnny the Bullet got it wrong. And Johnny is listening, I'm sure, right now. Johnny, what happened, man? How could you get Jalen Marshall played quarterback. Exactly. One of the clips was Austin Mack playing running back. Jalen never played running back. You know that. And then he got real salty.
I was minding my business. Adidas was posting boobies and I got dragged into it somehow.
Right. I said something about, now I have to monitor my son's Twitter because Adidas put out I'm going to put one out today, Chris, just so you know, a Menace to Sports sports bra ad.
Oh, bet.
And it's going to be nice titties. every pair of tits is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I'm not hating, but it's just so bizarre, like 40 different pairs of tits. And I'm like, what? This is Adidas. Like, my kid wears Adidas. Like, he might go to adidas.com and just see boobs everywhere. And I mean, it is what it is. We don't hide boobs in this house. It's not like, you know, boobs are the devil, but that was a bizarre move by Adidas. So I just tweeted like, oh great, now I have to add Adidas to the things I need to censor my 12-year-old son from. And somebody said, your 12-year-old son has Twitter? And Johnny said, yeah, follow him at Chris Drew.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Like,
damn, Johnny, you came with my guy like that.
Right. Johnny's my boy though. I'll get him back. He lives kind of, you know, up in my area. So I was just like, I was doing my homework, minding my own damn business, you know, and then boom, got me.
He went hard on you. So I apologize, Johnny. It was Austin Mack. You can delete the tweet. We won't tell anyone.
And hey, anybody can redeem themselves next week.
That's a fact. But so we had a tough day gambling yesterday with our handicappers at Menace to Picks. It was the first losing day we've had in the month of February, which is going to happen. I mean, it is what it is. But the only bet that I won was a parlay with the Cavs. And I know you're a Cleveland guy. How about the Cavs right now?
They've been super impressive. Kind of my first love before football was always basketball, because it was easier to access, easier, funner to play. I mean, I thought, and then obviously like growing up, like that was like debating basketball players was always the big thing. And I have been paying pretty close attention to this Cavs team. They just made a deal for Caris LeVert, who's from the University of Michigan, obviously from the Columbus area. And this is a legit team. They are one game back, Zach, from first place in the East. And that's unbelievable when you consider this rebuild has been much quicker and kind of done without significant star power. And that's not the case in the NBA most times. Most times you need one superstar plus a slew of young guys and role players to kind of make a run at things. But they're doing it with all these guys on the rookie deals. They're talented, and it's been a quick rebuild. And if I would have told you at the beginning of the year that the Cavs would be having a much better season than the Lakers, you would have called me stupid as hell and said,
right.
No, I mean, way.
It's the in vogue thing in the NBA now is super teams, right? Mm-hmm. Where you look at the Nets, you look at the Lakers. I mean, these teams that are going out to get 3-4 superstars and putting them on a team. And then you look at a team like the Cavs that are just, it's organic, right?
Right.
It's a process. They built a team, the young guys, no LeBron James, no Kevin Durant, I don't want to say no star power, because they have some star power, but
no mega stars, no like household top five names.
Yeah. No top five names is what it is. And you love to see it. So I would love for a team like that to win it all, just to kind of shit on what happens in the NBA, which is, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 years has been, I mean, going all the way back to LeBron going to Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. I mean, it just, that became the way to win a championship, and you'd love nothing more than an organic team to win it all and beat LeBron and beat Kevin Durant, beat all of them, would be awesome. And I'd love it to be my Cavs. So really cool to watch, but we're in an interesting time right now in college football. I want to switch it back to college football. I know, I saw spring game tickets go on sale tomorrow, and that just kind of gives you that light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, football's coming back soon. And there's also been, I don't know if you don't follow Taraja Mitchell on social media, like Instagram, I think every day he's posted just bodies. He'll post like a picture from the locker room or a video from the locker room, and just bodies laid out everywhere. And it just reminded me of walking through the locker room and seeing that, right? And in this time of year, I mean, the winter is where dudes get fucked up in the weight room. I mean, just like, You'll come in one day and it'll be a hard workout, and you're like, oh, and then you leave and you're like, I got that one. You know, that was a good one. I put it in the bank. The next day you come in expecting the same thing, and Mickey Marotti has some just devilish workout. I mean, Satan has come to town and just absolutely annihilates you, to the point where when you're done, like, you get to the locker room and people are laying on the floor. They're not even on the couch or hunched over in their locker. They're like laid out on the floor because you're just absolutely beyond exhausted. I don't even know if there's a word for how exhausted you are. And I mean, you're talking about, those workouts are nuts. I mean, it'll be circuit training, right? Where you're doing plate sprints, leg press, wall sits, and all without rest. And just, you get to the point where guys are trying to sit on a wall and their legs are just shaking like they're having an orgasm. I mean, just
these are some elite athletes already. So
for them to be just like dying, like their legs are dying. And they can't stand up. And then when they try to stand up, he'll be like, go get water, go. And you can't walk to get water. You have to sprint. And dudes are like, it's almost like a drunk person. Or if you ever had it, like my 1.5-year-old loves to sit in an office chair and get spun around and get dizzy. and then you set him down and he like stumbles around. That's what it looks like. Like when you're done with one of those supersets or those, it's like, go get water, go, 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 go. And they're like trying to run to get water. They're like bumping into machines and shit, like just falling over. And then at the end of it, they just get hit the locker room and it's like, they can't even make it to their locker. They just boom, just hit the floor. And Taraja Mitchell's been documenting it. And, I think it's interesting because every year, you know, they try to find motivation. And obviously, this offseason is going to be one that I think Ryan Day entered it with. And you know, in the pre-offseason meetings with Mickey Marotti, I think his mantra or his goal with Mick was like, listen, this one needs to be legendary. Like, we just lost to Michigan for the first time in whatever it is, 7 years? No, longer than that, 10 years, right? And this needs to be one that they never forget, so that for, you know, 3 years from now, when we're 3-0 against Michigan, people still are talking about the 1 year we lost and how absolutely brutal and annihilating this offseason was, right? It needs to be legendary. It needs to reach legend status. And that's what I think they're doing. I think they got, I talked about it, you know, after the Michigan game, I think they got away from that. And certainly Mickey Marotti didn't want to get away from that. I'm sure Ryan had some influence in that, of kind of being, I don't want to say easier on the kids, but less just absolute massacre workouts, right? More, you know, science oriented, maybe more developmental. And because of that, I don't, whether it's true or not, I think Ryan believes that that decision made the team less tough, softer, right? And so this offseason, they went in and said, all right, we're going to be a tough fucking team. We may have some kids jump in the portal because of it, but it doesn't matter. We're going to be tough as shit. And so Mickey Marotti right now is, he's developing toughness. And there's only one way to do it in the weight room, and that's to absolutely annihilate people. And that's what he's doing. And I've talked about it before, these mat drills and these workouts. We talked about it in Twitter spaces, right, with Tyquan Lewis and Gerion Conley and all the guys that popped in the spaces last week. They're just different. These events, I wouldn't even call them workouts, they're events. And it's all motivation. There's low light videos. It's not a highlight, right? It's basically showing them like, hey, this happened last year, and it's going to be all those press conferences with those Michigan coaches, Josh Gattis saying that Ohio State's soft, the Michigan players, you know, having success, you know, winning the Big Ten. It's going to be all the things that you don't want to watch as a Buckeye, to kind of remind them like, hey, you remember this? This happened. And this is why when we leave this room, you're about to get fucked up. It's like, hey, this is why. Just, we wanted to preface this annihilation so that you didn't forget why we're doing it, right? And it's the why. And that's what they're doing right now. And man, it looks brutal on social media.
Yeah, this, I mean, at least what I've seen on social media this year seems like this could have been, definitely there wasn't this kind of posting last year around this time of year. So that is interesting. And obviously, I think the loss to Michigan has a lot to do with that, because if you're Ohio State, the one thing you don't get to do is lose to Michigan. And all signs, until Jim Harbaugh did his little affair thing, were pointing that Michigan was going to be taking this game much more seriously. So we'll see. For you as a coach, Zach, what was this time of the year like for you? And how did you get guys ready for the spring game? I am really curious about that, because I know this time of year is all about kind of conditioning and transforming body. But the spring game is about 2 months away. I believe it's April 16th is the date. And like you said, tickets do go on sale tomorrow.
Yeah, so this is a unique time. I mean, it's not time to get guys ready to play football. It's time to develop them, develop their mentality, develop their toughness, develop their leadership. And you still do skill development. You still do sessions, you know, twice a week maybe, of skill development drills or whatever it is. And more than twice a week, but twice a week organized, right? The other times will be kind of on their own. You'll lay out a plan for what they should be doing if they want to become a great player. And then they can either do it or not. And you monitor it. Don't get me wrong. It's illegal to demand it or make it mandatory, but it's still mandatory. To an extent, I mean, if they want, it's basically like, hey, if you want to play, you need to do this stuff. And so if they don't come, you're like, the fuck, do you not want to play? Like, you can't say, like, and I used to tell them, like, I can't make this mandatory, but shouldn't you want to do this? Shouldn't you want to play for Ohio State? Like, I mean, I'm watching it. And if you're not doing this extra stuff, you're telling me and everyone that you don't want to be a good player,
right?
And you don't want to contribute. So there's still a lot of development going on. There's still a lot of meetings, one-on-one meetings, maybe some very minimal, but some group meetings. And it's basically just getting guys ready. I think now that's the veteran guys, the guys that have been around, right? Now the incoming freshmen, man, ooh, you talk about walking into a buzzsaw. I mean, they walked in the door and they were going to be shell-shocked no matter what. But for this to be the offseason that they walked into, oh, man, they are, I know, and I've even seen them a couple times, like, posted on social media, like, bro, you ain't tell me it was like this. Like,
well, even the transfer kid said, y'all didn't tell me it was going to be like this, and he came right from Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's different, right? It's just, it's different when you have that bad taste in your mouth. And so there's always a different plan for newcomers, whether it's a transfer, whether it's a freshman that enrolled early. Obviously you have to get them ready for spring football. And you look at the defense right now, and no one is a veteran on defense right now because nobody knows the defense. So you have to teach them the defense to an extent before spring ball. You can't just roll out spring practice one and try to install your first defense because they won't have a clue what to do that first practice. So you have to have that stuff taught. At least the basic stuff, the foundational stuff, has to be taught when you enter spring ball. And then you teach the more finer details, maybe the more exotic plays or defenses. You know, that stuff you could teach on the fly as you get into it. But the foundational things that either the defense or offense need a great understanding of, you're teaching that now. And so that's what's going on right now. I mean, they're doing a lot of teaching, and it's mainly about development, less about playing football, more about teaching, because they'll get ready to play in the summer. The summer workouts will get their body in football shape. The summer, you know, time is when you really, you know, develop football skill for the season. Right now it's more teaching, more football IQ stuff, more, you know, physically they're getting developed, but it's more size and strength than it is, you know, conditioning. It's speed, explosion, and strength. It's not as much being in football shape.
Heard. Did you have a favorite transformation you saw take place during winter workouts, kind of like from a prospect standpoint, like in your room?
That's a good question. I think Michael Thomas was a great one because he was not a mentally tough kid, and he became, I wouldn't say he was mentally tough at the end. He just was had supreme confidence. And he went from a false, I think that's probably my favorite thing I saw. He went from a false confidence to a real confidence. And in that transformation, it was like the 2013 season, 2013-14 off season, he transformed from this false confidence, false bravado, to kind of a chip on his shoulder grinder, worked his ass off. And because of all that he invested, it became a real confidence. And it was really fun to be a part of and fun to watch because it was almost, I don't want to say overnight, but you saw it just click one day. And it was like, this dude is motivated beyond any motivation I've ever seen.
Yeah, I did a lot of work with kids kind of in the Akron area, just not so much football, obviously, but other things. And there is a light bulb that comes on when kind of you see these kids who are arrogant, who kind of like a false sense of cocky. And then it's like, what have you ever done to be that cocky? And then the moment where they see that the work works, then they get hooked and you really see them kind of transform. Kind of almost how they walk, how they talk, how they go about their day, how they go about their stuff outside of the field, outside of the off the court. I do think it's really interesting that I can absolutely see that with Michael Thomas. Yesterday, an NIL presentation came out. I sent it to you as well. It feels like Doug Archie is planting his feet in the sand and saying, we're not going anywhere. They had this whole presentation and they talked about this SWAT team that Doug Archie is going to be heading. And the SWAT team, this is what it said in this presentation. SWAT team reviews deals but does not approve or provide legal guidance to student athletes. So basically, they want this team to kind of oversee everything that's going on to make sure that there's nothing funny or funky going on and so that Doug Archie's hands are in absolutely everything. What are your thoughts in kind of this chapter of the Doug Archie versus Brian kind of NIL stuff we got going on?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising to me. Anybody that listens to the show or pays attention, I've said this is what's going to happen, what is happening since it all got announced. I mean, that is how Ohio State operates. And part of it is, you know, rightfully, right? Part of it is they don't want anything negative to happen to the program or university. So they feel like they need to monitor and have their hands all over everything. My only problem is the guy in charge of it doesn't understand his role. He thinks just naming it the SWAT team, it tells you everything. Like Hey, Doug, you're not the fucking police, man. You're supposed to be on the same team as everyone else. You're supposed to be a Buckeye. Like, everyone is a Buckeye that works there, right? You're not supposed to be the cops. Nobody likes a cop coming in and, like, everything you do, like, reviewing it, like, well, is this legal or am I going to have to arrest this guy? Like, no one would like that, right? It's like constantly you feel like someone is looking over your shoulder to fuck you. And that's what it is. That's what he's trying to do. 24/7, he's looking over everyone's shoulder, trying to fuck them with a theoretical penis. I mean, that's what he's doing. And naming it the SWAT team just tells you everything you need to know about this guy. Like, SWAT team? How about, like, I don't know, advisory team or, like, something right. like positive. SWAT team. We're going to go SWAT team. Like, hey, if you sign a deal and it's pay to play, we're going to kick down your fucking door and blow your brains out. Like, that's what I think of. So just naming it the SWAT team is problematic in and of itself. And I knew from day one he would be the man in charge. And his position, his role should be the person in charge. But I'll just be interested to see how this battle goes out. Brian Schottenstein is creating a slush fund, and Doug Archie created the SWAT team. So Brian Schottenstein better, you know, get a security system and get some snipers on the roof, because the SWAT team's coming for you, Brian. SWAT team is coming. Really scary looking group, too.
This does feel like police versus mafia. Something I thought was really interesting, Zach, was this this SWAT team is 12 people, and their job is to review and advise all the student athletes, especially the football team is kind of the big thing. You know how many African-American males are on this SWAT team, Zach?
Oh, probably none. Oh, Doug Archie.
Only Doug. He is the only one on this SWAT team. And then the rest of them are older white males for the most part, and then some females as well. I just thought that they missed an opportunity to kind of, I mean, if you want to gain the trust of these kids, Doug, at least have one or two, you know, black males on there that can connect with the kids other than just like being kind of the roadblock for them to make money is kind of what they're kind of looked at like. I do want to talk about Brian Flores. Right?
Oh, yeah. Brian Flores, the
brother, man,
the fucking the knight in shining armor. Right. Coming to town because black coaches have been wronged in the league.
And I support my brother's cause. Let me start there. But oh boy,
no, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all.
No, how he's going about it is stupid, in my opinion. I mean, he probably would have been the head coach at either the Texans or somewhere. Shit, maybe New Orleans. Like, he might have got a great job if he didn't do this. Now, I'm not saying that's reason to not do it, but I think the funniest thing ever. It started out as, Chris, what I first read was he hired all white attorneys. But then you hit me with a stat this morning that not only did he hire all white attorneys, he hired an attorney office that not only the attorneys, but the entire office has zero black employees, like not one. And you sit there and you're like, wait a minute. That's the most out of touch fucking thing I've ever heard. Because not only, like, you want to talk about qualifications. Do you know there is thousands of extremely qualified, high level, you know, highly efficient, successful black attorneys. Like, and unlike head coaching jobs, right? You can hire anybody, whoever you want. And he could have went out and hired a black attorney, but he hired all white attorneys, which honestly, whatever. Like, if you hire the best guy, that's what the NFL should do also. Like, hire the best people. The best people you think give you the best chance to win. That's what NFL executives should do. That's what Brian Flores should have done. But the fact that he's fighting a cause, basically saying there are qualified black people out there that are not getting their opportunity. It's like, timeout. So are there not any qualified attorneys out there that deserve an opportunity to have this stage, Brian? Like, that's the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's like they're fighting the NFL for basically, you know, not giving the minority, the black coaches a real chance. And he's using the law firm that doesn't give any of the black employees a real, I mean, there's zero black employees. So it's like this insane paradox. Like, oh my goodness gracious, of all the places, you know, I agree with like the best place, this and that, but for an entire law firm, Zach, have zero black employees.
Well, I think the only thing we can gather from this is Brian Flores is a raging racist. He hates black people.
During Black History Month.
during Black History Month, he is trying to keep the black man down. That's mm-hmm. That's all we can conclude from this. He doesn't like black people. Like, what? It's just it's just so bizarre, because there's literally thousands of extremely successful, high profile black attorneys. Like, how could he not think that maybe that should be the optic move, right? It's mind blowing to me. But I guess the case rages on. His white attorneys will fight for black coaches.
Now look, his law office, they can shut this whole thing. They can turn this whole thing around. All they got to do is call Menace to Sports and say, hey, look, Chris Drew, the black kid, we'd like to bring him on for our racial relations team and hire me for a 6-month contract until they figure out this Brian Flores stuff. And then it's good. Then there's a black.
Bro, they don't even have to hire you. Just pay you so they can say they have a black man employed, right?
On
just
payroll.
Send you a check. Every month, send you a check. Chris Drew, attorney at law. Right?
Uhuru Lamborghini, reparations.
Oh, man. All right, Chris, I think it's time to find out if Josh Proctor is a hometown hero. What do you think?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with it. I think it's
time. All right, let's get a barbershop on the line.
Barber Sports Line.
Hi, how you doing? My name's Jim Greenlee. I was calling because I was in your shop about a month ago, and we were sitting here just talking about a football player down there, from local kid, that went and played for the Buckeyes. And I'm sitting here talking to my wife, and I can't remember his name. Do you have any idea who that would be?
Yeah, Josh Proctor.
Damn it. Josh Proctor. I'm sitting here. I Googled it, and I couldn't find it. I appreciate it, man. He's going to be a great player, isn't he?
Yes, sir. Yeah. He just came off this shoulder injury, but this is here. He should sign this year.
He's going to be that dude, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, he is.
You know when you can't think of something and you're sitting there like, damn it, I don't know how to figure this out. I figured I'd just call, and damn it, you delivered. I appreciate it, man.
No problem, my man. No problem.
All right, I'll see you next time I get my hair cut.
All right, yes, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Fuck me. We got some hometown heroes on the Buckeyes.
That just made me so happy, Doug. That just made me happy.
These people are fucking like, what? Like, immediate answer. Like, no hesitation.
Let's go. That just made me so happy, dog. For a guy, you know, he didn't really, hell yeah. Josh, good, you better go, Josh. Be a star. Let's go.
We don't have a guy on the Buckeyes right now that is not a hometown hero that we found. We're going to have to be more challenging. Call bigger cities. I don't know. Like, it's hard, right? I was going to do Chris Olave, but the morning show is kind of early and San Diego's 3 hours behind. So they're not open yet. We might have to do that in the afternoon. I mean, that's a bigger city, but it's a huge name. I bet they know him too. Like, these, I'm going to tell you what, if there's any recruits listening, go to Ohio State, man. You become, famous back home instantly. Good for Josh Proctor. How about that?
So happy, dog. Let's fucking go, dude.
Oh, well, that's all I got for you, Chris. I mean, that's a way to end a Thursday right there. Joshua Proctor, a confirmed, bona fide hometown hero.